And it is 8 a.m. in the West Coast. It is 1 p.m. in the East Coast, and it is 8 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is Monday, February 22nd, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to listen to some of the latest events. And we hope you will enjoy it with especially with the music that I picked for you today. So let's get started. You know, guys, everybody is speaking this day about the refugees in Syria and the awful condition they have. And I'm telling you, I've been talking about it a long time, and of course the situation has been overdue for many years, because the crisis there started 5 years ago, and now we have all those refugees in the street. And there is one man that takes care of business constantly, goes around to help. Of course, you know, history will tell if he was right or wrong, but he does his best. And I would like to listen to something that he had to say, you know, in a very nice venue. Let's listen to Secretary of State John Kerry on the Kimmel show.
Do I call you Your Honor, or what is the proper way to address the Secretary of State?
Hi.
That seems Whatever. Simple enough.
That's quite a ride, that thing.
The elevator? Yeah, the pretend elevator. Why do I feel like you're here to see Gwen Stefani? Is that true? How long have you been Secretary of State for now?
I've been Secretary of State since February 1st, 2013.
I know you said you like the job. Do you still like the
I
job?
I love the job.
You love the job.
I have the best job in America.
Do you really think
I
that?
Do. Yes.
I feel like Guillermo has a better job than you do. Yeah, Guillermo over here. Whenever something...
Well, I'll tell you this, Guillermo has more fun than I do.
He probably does. Because when bad things happen around the world, they say, John, go there.
No, they say, why did you let that happen?
And why did you let that happen, too?
Anyway, it's okay.
Yeah,
I truly have. It's a fantastic job. I mean, to be able to represent your country and to be able to try to stop a war, to try to make a country better, to make our country stronger, it's a privilege.
Yeah, it's such a hard job, though, and you're dealing with, well, like you had a ceasefire agreement in Syria over the weekend, and that...
Well, we have an agreement to try to make it work over the course of the week, and it'll all... I think everybody believes it's going to take a little longer than that. But we also didn't want to sort of say, oh, okay, let's have a ceasefire in 3 weeks or 2 weeks. It doesn't make sense. You've got to push the process as hard as you can and try to save lives. And so we're pushing the process. Because we said a week, we'll get it done sooner than we would have if we did it in 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Do you ever feel like it's hopeless? Like there's no reasoning with this group of people or that group of people, and they're not listening to me, and there's nothing I can do. Why am I here? Why am I not home in bed?
Am I allowed to lie?
But of course, isn't that what politicians do? Not you, of course. But the others who aren't sitting next to me.
Well, I'm out of politics now.
Mm-hmm. Are you? You
yes.
feel like you are out of politics?
I'm out of politics, and judging by the Republican field, half of them are too. So.
Do you get feedback as you visit these other countries?
No, I do.
People who say, what's going on with this Donald Trump? Is he really going to ban the Muslims from coming into the country? Do you hear about that stuff from people?
I hear about it everywhere.
You do?
I do.
Wow.
And I think next year the White House will be sending out a lot less Christmas cards.
Not if Donald Trump's in it. He's going to send out only Christmas cards. There will be no happy holidays anymore at all. The holidays will not be happy anymore. When you get a phone call in the middle of the night, it's never good news, right? I mean, it's always something bad.
If you get a call.
Who decides whether or not the call goes to you, whether or not you're awakened in the night? Is there a person specifically?
Well, we have people working 24 hours, 7 in the State Department. It would depend on what it was, whether it would go to me or whether it would go to the Secretary of Defense or whether it would go directly to the White House.
Are there times where you say, oh, I've got to wake the president up?
No. I have not had to do that, and I just don't. There's a process where if that had to happen, it would either be the chief of staff of the White House or the National Security Advisor, I'm sure.
If you and I were friends, I would call you in the middle of the night all the time. And I would be like, there is trouble in Abu Dhabi. Yeah, you should not give me your number.
That's why if you put a screen up with six people from my past, I wouldn't remember you.
When you're traveling, we have a map, actually. Yeah. I think it's interesting to visualize all the different countries that you've been to since you started this job. And you probably would add more if we're just counting your own personal travels. All the countries in red, like if this were a game of Risk, you would be way ahead of everybody else. Are you planning to get to all of them before you're done?
No, it looks like a game of Monopoly to me. I like it.
Do you pack yourself, or does someone pack for you?
I pack myself. Absolutely pack myself.
Are you always packed and ready to go?
I actually have a bag that rarely gets completely unpacked.
I see. Do you have an international calling plan?
No. Yes, I do. I absolutely do.
What do you say to people who say, who don't think what happens in other countries is important to us in this country?
I say to people that, you know, there's no such thing as foreign policy. Everything we do now, I mean, this world is so interconnected. And everything that we do in the State Department is geared towards creating jobs, making life better for Americans, protecting us here at home. I mean, we all saw what happened in San Bernardino. We know what happened in Paris. We know what the threat of Daesh is today, ISIL. If we don't do our job to the best of our ability all the time, we're letting the American people down, and I think President Obama has made it clear that the top priority of his administration is to keep America safe, and we're doing everything possible.
Your job seems like the hardest job anyone could ever have to me. Like, what would you do if you had to sit Taylor Swift and Kanye West down? How would you bring these two together?
That's why I was here.
Yeah. You can set that up. Well, I appreciate you taking time to...
I'm not even sure the best Secretary of State could get a ceasefire between them.
Well, maybe the next person will have that on their agenda. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kimmel. If you like that, click the subscribe button below, and good things will happen forever.
Oh, that was so nice. Secretary John Kerry on the Jimmy Kimmel show, and it was a really nice conversation and a great way to interact with politicians on a different level without trying to talk to them, like in press conference. Sometimes one-on-one is really something close, personal, and that's what they need. I know that we have one beautiful interview that Ellen DeGeneres did with President of the USA, and it's really charming and it's really sweet, and I think I would like to listen to it now. Let's listen.
As a little girl growing up in New Orleans, I never dreamed I'd have my own show, and I certainly never thought I'd be able to say these words. Please welcome the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Can I just say I was watching some of the dance moves?
Yes, sir.
Backstage.
Yep.
You guys are doing pretty good.
Yep.
I liked it.
Yeah, the gentlemen that were on the floor,
yeah,
thought followed Twitch very well.
I thought they were going to hurt themselves.
Yeah, yeah. You've felt you didn't want to compete with that coming out?
I couldn't. Once I saw that, I said, you know what, they set the bar too high.
Yeah, you're not going to do it. No. The last time you were here, you were running for president, and now you're leaving. I feel like I have something to do with both. but you, this is an obvious question, but what, how do you feel now compared to when you were here before?
Older.
Yes, I knew you'd say that. Tired?
You know, the interesting thing is actually I feel really energetic. The first time I came, you know, there was a lot of possibilities out there, but also uncertainty. And, you know, you're young, you're eager to get started, but you don't necessarily know what you don't know. And now, after having served for 7 years and having gotten a lot done and seen the progress that we've made and seen the incredible resilience of the American people and fighting back from recession and war, in some ways the fear drops away. You feel confident that America's going to do well. You know the job better. You're more relaxed, and but just as enthusiastic as I was the first day I started.
Do you look at what's going on now in the campaigning, and do you miss it in any way, and do you look at them and go, oh, you're making big mistakes?
I don't miss it. It's always good to get out of Washington, which can sometimes be a little depressing.
What will, to get out of Washington, or to, what's, what part is depressing?
Well, Washington.
That's, I would think so. Yeah. I mean, really.
Yeah, no, but
you're kind of not kidding. You're kind of not kidding.
I'm kind of not kidding.
Yeah, I mean, what was the biggest surprise for you? When you became president, what surprised you the most?
Well, the fact is that most of the time, if something reaches my desk, it means it's really hard, which is why they bumped it up to me, because nobody else could figure it out. And, you know, when I came in, the economy was collapsing. We were about to go into a Great Depression. We had to make a whole bunch of decisions about saving the auto industry, or making sure that you know, businesses got back on their feet, or the housing market would recover. And, you know, you're having to make big bets with incomplete information. You're not sure that everything's going to work. And I think that part of what's happened in this Instagram, you know, Twitter culture is that we expect quick answers without sacrifice, without having to make choices, and politicians play into that. But the truth of the matter is, you know, the world is a big, complicated place. The good news is that we're generally going in the right direction, and my hope is that we'll continue to do so.
That's that's our everybody's hope. But let's talk about me. I feel like, don't you think if more people danced and just had fun, instead of, everyone takes everything so seriously, and I think that we have these, you know, people that all, I'm kind of kidding there, obviously, but I think we have people that we all have the one thing in common, which is we just want a good quality of life.
Right.
And then we have these people that feel one way, and if someone feels another way, we tend to hate them. And it's just...
That's not helpful.
No, it's not helpful.
The amount of stuff that is just put out there on the internet, or on sometimes news broadcasts that are just factually inaccurate, is surprising, and it's really hard to catch up. Since I came into office, we reduced the deficit by 2/3. But if you ask the average person, they're sure that spending has shot up. And the reason is because there are a bunch of folks who say that we're wildly overspending, even though we aren't.
Right.
That's just one small example, but it happens all the time, and that's something that we have to fix, partly by people paying more attention to what's going on every single day. And it's hard. People are busy. They're dropping off their kids. They're, you know, working. They're, you know, trying to figure out how they get some exercise, do some push-ups, and you know.
Speaking of her,
okay.
What do you and Michelle disagree on?
Well,
like, what do you fight about?
You know, after about 15 years, I finally figured out that she's always right. So then, Surprisingly, we just stopped fighting
then
after
there's
that.
There's no more fighting. Well, she's a cheater. You know that.
Right. That was so sweet. You know, the first lady is always right. Her husband knows that. That's perfect. Anyway, I wish I could have listened to all of it because it's long and it takes more visual. You know, you guys need to see the picture in the back and listen to see how comfortable the president is with Mr. Generous, which she is outstanding, you know, human being anyway. But right now, I think that we want to talk about what's in stake, what's going on, why everybody is going wild, why is the world is going crazy, and how are we going to achieve this peace agreement with or ceasefire agreement in Syria? People say that the fact that the rebels are not included and the fact that ISIS are not included, it won't stop, you know, the ceasefire will not take place, but ISIS something else. The ceasefire is to go after ISIS, to go after the other organization, the rebels that don't want to settle. The ceasefire with the rebels, the one that are actually in agreement, will hold. Everybody's interest is to play nice and make sure that they got the supply they need. And as I see, there is tons of people are working hard to get the supplies to the people in Syria and elsewhere in Jordan. And I know that America donate a very large sum to the effort of the refugee, which is outstanding. I think that with the new president that we're going to have next year, the whole region going to have new leadership and new understanding. And right now we just have to escort them to a better day. And doing so, we cannot overlook over here. Just, you know, what happened in South Carolina and Nevada with the latest results. And I chose a few segments of Donald Trump that might be interesting to you. Let's listen to that.
I want to just say thank you to my family. It's been not easy for them. They don't see me anymore. I'm making speeches all the time. Melania, say something. God, please.
Just want to say an amazing place, South Carolina. Congratulations to my husband. He was working very hard and he loves you. We love you. And to be going ahead to Nevada and we will see what happened. He would be the best president.
And representing some very, very wonderful children, Ivanka, just say a few words.
Thank you, South Carolina. This is an amazing, amazing night. The momentum since the beginning of this campaign has been unbelievable, and that's because my father's message resonates so deeply with so many people. So as our family, we're incredibly proud. We're incredibly grateful to each of you, so thank you for being here to support us. And I will say this, my father is an incredibly hard worker, and he'll be working for each and every one of you. So together, we'll make America great again. Thank you.
All right. All right. That was a very nice speech from the wife of Donald Trump, Melania, and his daughter, Ivanka, which is very eloquent, the daughter. And she's a beautiful person and incredible, outstanding family. And the wife's seems to be lovely. I know we got it. You got what it takes to make a president, and it looks like the next president might be him. So let's hold our, let's be open-minded, and we'll see what the Democrats are going to pull. It's not easy to be a Democrat these days because you don't know who you are supposed to defeat. Some people say, oh, it's more easy because in the Democratic Party they have two, and they, one of them going to win, right? So they have a 50-50 chances. But once they try to arrange themselves to defeat the other side, they don't know who is the Republican that they have to defeat. And sometimes it's close, sometimes it's not. Let's see. It's going to be a little longer, but we'll know sooner or later. All right, I got some music for you. Let's listen to it.
Name I want to know, the way he looks and where you go. I need to see his face, I need to understand
why you and I. Well, Josh Gerben was always wonderful with Broken Bow. Let's keep on going with Donald Trump, who gave so many speeches that we must keep a straight line to see what we're listening to. So let's listen to Donald Trump.
It's an incredible movement with incredible people, I tell you. And whether we go, honestly, whether we go to Dallas or whether we go anywhere you say, you go to L.A., you go anywhere you say, our people are incredible. And you know, our theme, what's our theme? You know it, right? Right? Our theme, which I love, maybe the greatest theme of all time, right? And the word again eventually is going to come off. We're going to get rid of the whole theme because what's going to happen, make America great again, right? And the last 2 weeks, because I've gotten to see so many, I guess, millions when you add them all up with all of these rooms and all of these speeches, and I've met so many people. But the people are so incredible that I've been saying, make America great again, and it's going to be greater than ever before. That's the kind of potential we have, greater than ever before. So I want to thank everybody. I love you all. Again, South Carolina, we will never forget you. We will never forget you. We will never, ever forget South Carolina. We will never forget our great volunteers. We love our volunteers. We'll never forget all of the people that have helped us so much, my family and folks. Let's go. Let's have a big win in Nevada. Let's have a big win at the SEC. Let's put this thing away, and let's make America great again. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Right, we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. And, I've been a little slow, and last week I do have to take the time to apologize for who missed my known show, because there were a group of people that came from far away from the United States to visit the capital, the Jerusalem, and I took the time to travel with them to the Knesset, that's the Israeli parliament, to, speak about the issues on hand, because it's really hard to make a decision and understanding of what's going on when you're far and all the media is really shouting at you all the time from all directions. And being in Israel, it's a modus operandi, so you really, really get overwhelmed. But in taking the time to travel, to visit Jerusalem, you know, and it was such a beautiful day. The weather collaborated really good. We went there quietly. We took the ride around the parliament. We spoke to some people from representative from the Knesset, and then we took the time to go to dinner in an incredible restaurant in Jerusalem named Gabriel, where it's all stone and real Jerusalemite, where you had all those linen, white linen with great wine glasses and all the catering, and it was so good. And I'm telling you, having the light of Jerusalem between the stone, which are yellowish gold, make you feel different. It's not thing to do where, you know, you can go to a very fancy restaurant everywhere in the world and you always look and feel good. You know, that's stage. However, when you go in Jerusalem, you just have it. And I told you that before. It's amazing because it's, after all, the holy city. I can't explain to anybody what holiness is if you never ever walk in holy grounds in any dimension. You know, don't you remember how you walk into your place of prayer, or when you know that there is some people of very respectful, you know, even the court for, you know, to get license or to get any kind of arrangement, you to get married, you will have always that reverence that we need to give before the Almighty. And as people who serve Him, real, you will feel it once you're in the great presence of God. But before that, I think that we'll have to prepare our heart, we'll have to prepare our, you know, ideas, and we want to see what the world is going to decide on this ceasefire. Going to take care of people, then we have a stand up on the area of the region, Middle East. Who's going to be in charge? Just the Russian and the American, the European Union, or the English? Who's going to take charge of those devastated countries? I'm sure one of the countries will have to be responsible, or together. But as long as we start doing something, there is a lot of to do and there is some work. And right now, even in Gaza, they're looking into some help. So let's make a regional makeup. You know, it's time. And at the end, are we going to have democracy in place of those dictatorship? Because you know that dictatorship cannot last. And you need to give those people some freedom. Because they have nothing to lose. So how you give it the right way, or they won't stay. So the idea of having a dictatorship again doesn't really go with the cards, I think. But it's up to you. You guys decide what you want to do. The only important thing is that you rush and make this decision, or let's repair. Let's start repairing, then we'll make the account who is in charge, okay? Let's just cease fire, start bringing some caring, loving, tender care for the refugees, love supplies, medicine, treatment, give them some schooling, some work, teach them some trade to work. Let's get on with our life. Because remember, once you didn't decide for the last 5 years, we all got captured in that the same. They weren't free to do anything they wanted, neither we are, all of us. So it's up to you to understand the magnitude. And many people are saying about, Donald Trump, that he has so much information about what happened before. I think he doesn't want to do that. He just wants to keep on going and take America in the good that she can. And she can, remember? America can be great. Well, she's great. And I must tell you, I've been listening to the Rebbe from Lubavitcher Rebbe just yesterday. I was looking for some good resources for you, to give you. And sure enough, I jumped, the video jumped to me, and it's in Yiddish from all languages that I don't speak, okay? Little, but not much. So there is a translation underneath, so you can go there. And there is, I posted it on my page too. And you can see it. And he said something in between all those, spiritual things. He said, he came to America because America is not like any other country. He believed, the rabbi, the great rabbi of Lubavitch, believed that America is special. And he gave her all the blessing he could. And you know what? I'm really happy that he did that. Because God bless his memory. He was incredible, Rabbi. And in his life, yes, America had an incredible time. So let's get some more music and we'll be... All right, we are back. This is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth, guys. I'm telling you, The Impossible Truth doesn't want to touch the obvious, incredible situation the world is finding itself. I gave an interview a few weeks back to Megan O'Toole on Al Jazeera, and I told her that, in this round, God won. Because he put us in such a check that we can all blow ourselves and the world around us away. Oh, we need to get a grip with the situation, turn around, get off our trees, high trees, and start talking. But for that, you guys need some people, like me, to communicate. Girls, you need to make people understand. And it's not easy when you are high and above. But men need some women help sometimes, and we can help you guys throw to the other side. But meanwhile, while you are thinking how to do it, let's take care of children that are in the street and refugees camp that need food. And let's try to teach teach the world a lesson, saying that we're not going to go that way. Only we're going to fix this world and make it a better one. And right now, the idea is to create farms for every family, a nucleus family or a nucleus of a few. You can make a little grounds everywhere and teach them how to plant. Have a little fruits, vegetables, have something to sell, to work. You can change your life if you want. And right now I'm looking at a site where they're selling here, and it's close by to the border, trees that are already ready, in, like adult tree. And you have all kind of adultery, like apples, Washington apple, then you have Valencia apple, you have the mixture of orange and grapefruit together. It's really good. Then you have dates, trees, tangerine, lemon, incredible lime, and a little the little lime is something the sweetest in the world. I never knew that. It's amazing. Those. Then you have a Chinese orange. Then you have mango, and you have lychees, and you have logan. You have macadamia nuts, and you have guayaba. I don't know how they call it. And you have so much to sell. We can take them and plant them, and sure enough, they're already in the ground for years. There are some of them already gave free again and again, and I promise you this, it's not like growing the trees from the start on, right? So what we have to do, we have to take them, plant them, and start organizing a community life around the farm in the refugee camps. Then they're going to grow the land, they're going to feed the people, and they're going to also develop the land they are there. So if Jordan or Greece will give them some land to develop and eat off their land, they will actually will end up better on off, because they're going to have all developed country. Those people will work, less risk to mix in the population, because at the end of the day, they're going to be busy in their commerce. And then while we are building back Syria, they can go back. So let's make a plan to win, okay? That's the only plan I know to make. I want to go and win. That's what Donald Trump says. No, seriously. I want you to understand that it's really important this stage to have a heart and do your best, because there are so many people on the ground. I left a message to the United Nations Refugees Coordinator, and I didn't get no comments. I didn't get any answer back. Probably too busy with refugees to answer, but I'm telling you, something we need to do is to start connecting the dots around us. All right? So let's listen to some more music, and then, you know, we're running out of time as usual. So let's listen to one more music, and then I'll talk to you and we salute you, okay?
D'autres façons de se quitter, quelques éclats de verre auraient peut-être pu nous aider dans ce silence amer.
All right, we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Guys, I just got an invitation to a London, you know, England conference that they're going to have all the news coming up in May. And I'm telling you, I'm so tempted. God, you know how many times I'm telling you guys, I want to go to London. There is so much happening there. And there is like the London Family Office Conference. And they have a lot of women representation, something that it's really incredible. But probably it's a very close group, so I'm not going to talk about it more. But if I can get to, you know, to go to London, I'll be there. So, God willing, you never know. So, if we have a wish to make this day until the next show on next Monday. By Friday night, we're going to have a ceasefire between the Syrian opposition and the Syrian government. And we're going to have a stop bombing of any allies like Russia, England, the USA, Saudis. Everybody will be off. The only trick will be to keep those rebels in the zone, or not rebels, the Al-Qaeda groups, in a place where they can be confined. And we need to start talking to them, too, at the end of the day. But right now, let's get our act together. Make it happen, all right? And I really wish you all the best, and I really thank all my friends and all those beloved souls that came to visit me all the way from America, and also visiting from Africa. It was an amazing week, and God bless you all for this, and thank you. I love you, and just remember there is a God. You're never alone. He's always, always there with you. Just never give up. He's there. The only thing is if you can make him listen to you sometimes. God bless you all. Until the next time, this is Orly Penny Davis. Ciao, ciao.